This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on Channel Radio. In association with Biz Radio, you're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Our Twitter's gone bananas.
It's gone ballistic, hasn't it?
Yeah, funny, I was just tweeting about half a banana this morning. Did you see?
Yeah, I did see that. And and you've also wound somebody up into sending me pictures of wedding dresses.
Oh, well, I don't think it would look a good look on you. Mm. I don't think it's a good look on Paul Andrews, a wedding dress.
You wouldn't get one that fitted me. No.
I don't see you in a frou-frou.
No.
Casey Canine, the lovely greyhound over there in Tenterden area, he is Casey Canine 2014 on the Twitter, and he says, "Hi, Jules Serkin, with no mention of you. How about a shout-out for a love-struck greyhound spending the afternoon watching those slow horses?" So he says, "I was much faster in my day." So, yes, and a big hug from Darcy Greyhound.
Paragon Drones say, "Vanilla Web, that's me." And Jules, "Good afternoon, Paul and Jules. Tuesday wouldn't be the same without Darcy updates and cheesy tunes. Really looking forward to the interviews with Hetty and Mip."
Well, and Diamond Circle Weddings are saying, "Thanks, Jules Serkin. You're the perfect advertisement for our businesses and Fort Weddings, because, you know, it's the magic three number."
Watch it, Paul. She'll send you a bill. Yeah.
I will say I started off at 17 and I'm now quite old.
Started off what?
Getting married at 17.
Oh, at 17. Yeah,
yeah. You know, in a lovely registry office in King's Road, actually.
And then moved to Cairo.
Then moved to Cairo, as you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? Food's great.
Is it?
In Cairo, yeah. Well, yeah, of course. That's where I get all my Ras El Hanout from.
Obviously. Why didn't I think of that?
That's what I rubbed in my hogget last night.
Was it?
Yeah. Beautiful spice.
Does anybody know? Can anyone translate any of that?
I have no idea what's going on. No. Ras El Hanout is Arabic spices. Ooh. And it's very delicious.
And you rubbed it on your hogget?
I rubbed it on my hogget, last night. And it's very nice it was, too.
Let's not even go there.
Hey, Business Awards 2022. I'm still I can't believe we're even in 2022.
I know, I keep forgetting as well.
Well, as you get older, time flies. I saw a young boy in a car today. I thought, I was just coming out of my drive. I thought, he can't even reach the pedals. Mm. You know, and then I realised he probably was old enough to drive, and it's just me.
And he had kids in the back, yeah.
it's like policemen, isn't it? Younger and younger.
Yeah. Don't talk to me about policemen.
Barely. What can I talk to you about?
Little at the moment. Yeah, without me going off on a rant. Everybody's been winding me up recently.
It does happen as men get older. Do you find, Hetty?
No, but I didn't.
Grumpy old men.
Yeah.
I didn't tell you, did I? About my.
I'm sure you're going to.
My mobile phone experience.
No.
I ordered a mobile phone off of Amazon. Cover your mic. It was for Amanda's birthday. Cover your mic. So she doesn't hear. Sorry. Well,
you can't get it on Amazon. Can't you shop local?
Shops don't carry mobile phones anymore. You have to order them online. What are you talking about, woman? Anyway, I ordered a mobile phone and they delivered an empty box.
Really? So
when I opened it, there was nothing in it.
I hope they took your money. But they took your money.
They took the money, yeah, but there was nothing in the box.
So that's why you need to go to a shop.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you find it. I Googled because I thought.
I thought you were a mouse.
I thought, I'm not going to buy one online again. I'm going to go and find a shop. Do you find a shop that will flog you a mobile phone that you want? There isn't any.
Well,
the only one's a car phone warehouse, but you have to, you know, they want to flog you a contract with
it.
Yeah,
I
left them a contract.
I just wanted an unlocked phone. Anyway, I've got an empty box if anyone wants one.
What about John Lewis? I always buy my phones through John Lewis.
They shut John Lewis, didn't they?
They buy it online, John Lewis.
That's the whole point. I bought it online and either,
but that was Amazon. Lewis wouldn't do that. They're never knowingly undersold.
In fact,
they've stopped that now, haven't they?
Either the driver nicked it or, you know, somebody nicked it at a warehouse or they forgot to pack it.
But did you have to sign for it as well?
Yeah.
But you signed
the code.
Did it feel light?
No.
When's her birthday?
Saturday. Yeah. Well,
next Saturday.
Yeah.
Next Thursday. Yeah. It did feel.
Saturday's the part.
This is the problem. Okay. What they do with high value products is to make sure they've delivered it to the right person, on the day they're going to deliver it, an hour before the delivery, they text you a code. And you have to give the code to the delivery man before he'll give you the package. So he stood there waiting for the code. I give him the code, he gives him the package, and he ran off up the drive.
Ooh.
And I'm thinking, well, that's a bit light, but it's in a cardboard box, yeah? So I have to open the cardboard box, find the phone box in there, get the phone box out to find that it's empty, by which time he's gone. Yeah. But my point about this is the code protects them, showing you that they've delivered it, but it also signals to anyone that it needs a code what's in the parcel.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, because they go, this one needs a code, so it's got to be a phone or a computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's small, so it's a phone. So they know immediately what's in the box.
They are quite... I would like to leave Vodafone. I absolutely deplore... I really don't like Vodafone, but they're the only one with a decent signal for me on the seafront where I live.
Oh. This is a lot of the problem.
Yeah, I was with Tesco O2, and it was so cheap. It was just amazing. It was like 15 quid a month.
But talking about buying...
Couldn't get a signal.
I would love to be able to buy these kind of things from a shop. But apart from iPhones, where you can buy them at Stormfront in Canterbury or Maidstone, there's nowhere else to buy them. If you go into I went into Carphone Warehouse in Bluewater a couple of years ago, and I said, I want an unlocked phone. And they went, yeah, okay. Do you want a £15? I went, no, I don't want a contract. I just want to buy an unlocked phone. And they went, anyway, a long story short, they eventually sold me the phone. I got home, I put a SIM in it. Yeah, tried it, fine. And then I gave it to another member of my family who put a SIM in it, and the SIM wouldn't work. It's odd. I took it back to the shop, and they went, ah, yeah, no. The phone's unlocked until you put a SIM in it.
They're just sharp.
And then it locks to the SIM that you put in first. Well, that's not an unlocked SIM phone, is it?
I hate to say it, Paul. I will say it again. I bought about 6 mobile phones from John Lewis. No problem.
You keep
a 5-year guarantee.
You keep telling me that, but they still deliver them online. They still deliver them by a delivery driver.
Yeah, but they're a John Lewis.
They have a phone in the box.
They're stricter. They're very strict.
Anyway, the reason for telling you the story is I had to report it to the police as a crime, and they sent me a crime number. And then the next day, they said, yeah, we're not going to investigate this. We've just sent you the number. And if you feel traumatised by this, we'll send you a victim
counseling
support.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Oh, they're good at that. Yeah, I know.
We'll counsel you now.
Yeah. So
they went, oh, there. It's only 800 quid. Don't worry about it.
What did Amazon say about it?
Anyway, I'm not going in there.
It's another show.
Did they say if you need to just give us a call? And you said, I can't have the phone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Give us a call. So did I finish even the business awards? I think we went off piece then. I started.
Do it quickly because I want to talk to Mip. Come on, you're taking up all my time.
Yeah, I'm sorry about this. Well, it's an email that was sent in. So business awards 2022.
Do you realise the show's nearly over?
I know.
And we haven't talked to Mip yet.
I really want to talk to Mip. Shall I read this?
You could try.
You can't get the stuff. Applications are now open for the Ashford, Canterbury, Maidstone, Tunbridge Wells Business Awards. And these are the categories: customer service, innovation, startup, 3 years old maximum, small business, business woman of the year, lady with a cervix, hopefully, best family business, best construction business. I do love a builder. And you can go to www.businessawardskent.co.uk. There you are.
Thank you.
We can talk to Mip now.
Thank you.
Mip Phillips.
Why didn't you introduce him? Why didn't you do it? Go on,
what's
then.
The first
Ladies
name?
And gentlemen, it's Mip.
Hi.
MIP, and we're going to ask Mip Phillips of Habilis. We know that Habilis comes from the Latin meaning...
You only know that because Mip told you while we were off air. Yeah.
Meaning...
It means handy, manageable and to adapt.
I love that.
It's
handy, manageable and to adapt. And where does MIP come from, pray tell?
It's exactly the same thing. No, so MIP is it's a nickname that I got too many years ago that I care to remember when I was born. And all of the babies were lined up in cots. And
how many did your mother have then?
Millions.
Okay. No,
so all the babies in the hospital were lined up in cots, and we all had tags hanging off our wrists. And my mum and dad took quite a long time thinking of a name for me. And the nurse pulled the tag up on my wrist and it had on it M for male, I for infant and P for Phillips, which is my surname. And the nurse said, call him Mip. So they did.
Really?
Yeah, which is pretty cool when you're in your 20s. Not so good when you're as I am now.
What is your middle name?
Paul.
Mip Paul.
Yeah. But Mip isn't my first name.
So
Mip is the nickname I got that I was on. I've never been called anything else by anybody ever other than Mip.
And what's on your birth certificate?
That's for another show.
Oh,
he's not going to tell you.
Never, yeah. That's a hang.
But I love that.
I'm really excited.
You can just tweet the BB bug. Just tweet them and see if they got kids.
Tweet your parents.
But, yes. Yeah. Mary and George Phillips.
Oh, Mary.
But I love that, and I love the fact that I think it's a shame they didn't christen you MIP or whatever your religion is. I think that's an absolute shame, because a name like that is fantastic, because it's so unique, but it isn't silly. Yeah, I mean, you get people give kids silly names. I said this the other week, didn't I? I actually went to school with a girl called Teresa Green.
Yeah.
And you just go, oh, come on. You know, just come on, really?
Mip, we love it.
I love it,
yeah. Middle name's Apple Pie.
Cool. Well, hey, Mip, so we've kind of fast forward a little bit from your birth, because we've only got half an hour left of the show, and we can't get it all in. Give us a little bit about the grown-up Mip and your business background, and then we can talk about Habilis.
Sure. So I've been working in marketing in the innovative creative side for nearly 30 years. I started off... I always knew I wanted to go into marketing. So when I was at school, all I was interested in was the English language and the ability to create lots of ideas, you know, to sell something. So left there, did the old college, did the BA thing, and always knew I wanted to work in a marketing agency to come up with these crazy ideas, you know. So I got a job.
Sorry to interrupt you. When you were thinking about that, I'm just fascinated by that process. Yeah. But when you were talking about marketing, did you think of that mostly at that age in terms of advertising? Is that, you know, the creativity of advertising, or is it more general marketing?
That's a really interesting question, because don't forget, this was before even the advent of social media and mobile phones and the internet, as it is now. So for me, marketing was then, and actually it still is now, about the idea. What's the idea? You know, we can talk about this later on, but this is when I chat to prospects and clients, and let's say they talk about social media, and they say, well, no one's liking anything. And I'm saying, that's because it's boring. But because there is no idea behind it. But we can, you know, we can get into that later on. But yeah, so me, marketing was and still is about, what are we saying? What's the idea? It's not enough just to say, you know, bring your car in and we'll give you a car insurance and it'll be better than your competitor. So what?
Yeah.
So what you do, and the big idea, oh, I know, let's have a family of meerkats. It's that bizarre.
As long as they're not Russian ones, because they've been pulled today.
They
pulled it because they're Russians.
Probably a poor example given.
It's a brilliant example.
They can have other nationality meerkats.
Oh, but that's just stupid, isn't it? Just pulling an advert because they're Russian.
What? Looking back over the years, I know you're very young, but what?
That's very nice of you, because I'm not at all.
Well, you're much younger than us. Put it that way.
Anyone's younger than us. Which adverts do you remember from growing up that really stuck in your mind? You know, like put a tiger in your tank and all those.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for me, and probably for loads of people of my age, it's going to be when Apple broke with the Super Bowl ad. Because it was just so different, you know, and our whole ethos is built around, you know, be different, do different, sell more. You've got to stand out in everything. You've got to stand out, whether it's a TV ad, whether it's a 20 pence postcard that you're sending a prospect, or if it's something on social media, anything digital now, you've got to stop the scroll. Everything's just so boring. It's the old adage. There's an old ad from Ogilvy, but it's still all about the idea. You have to stop someone in their tracks and tell them something they didn't know.
The interesting thing here is a double-edged sword here, because with the advent of social media, far more organizations, smaller businesses, have a route to a larger market than they would have done before. You know, back in the past, TV advertising, radio advertising, even print advertising was beyond the budget of a lot of small businesses. Social media, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and TikTok have given people a much larger market. But the downside of that is everybody's on it. So you're now competing with millions and millions and millions of messages.
See, that's absolutely true. And another thing to reverse engineer into it, you're absolutely spot on. And that's the reason why, and you know, any size business can have an idea. That's the reason why you need to start with what's the idea? Because you're everyone's putting stuff up, and a lot of it is boring, and it's easy. Yeah. I mean, it's really easy to do digital marketing stuff. It's really easy to do social media. It's really difficult to do it properly and to do it cleverly.
Yeah.
And it's that adage of, you know, well, hey, look at my video, and I've said, oh, we'll give you better insurance than your competitor. Click here. So what?
Mm.
But then the big idea is, as we said before, let's create a family and the big idea then breaks down into best practice across each platform. So you have the big idea. So if you think of it as a ladder, the top rung is the big idea. Loads of people do the middle rung and the bottom rung, and it's not easy. It's not that difficult.
Yeah.
But very few people, I think very few businesses can do, or indeed even some of them recognise that you need the top rung, you need the big idea. And then how does that look? It's something your company can stand behind, and it's your ethos. It's everything that you encapsulate in a really clever idea that people remember. What does it look like? And what does it look like on social media, on a direct mail? But in a TV ad, can't afford TV, doesn't matter. In a video.
Mm.
You know, in an email, it's what's the idea? This is what stops people. This is what people remember, and that's why every single successful business and the ones that are winning now understand the power of a big idea, and they don't just spend more and more money on disparate parts of marketing. They take a way more focused and considered approach because it works, and that's why they're successful.
Okay.
God, that was quite hearty and almost
semi-aggressive,
didn't it?
Well, no, I'm seeing passion.
At one point, I think I even went bang the table. I heard that on LBC this morning. I did the politician bang the table. And another thing.
No, absolutely. And you're very passionate and very lucid about that. What I want to ask you, Mip, if we can, it is about that creative process.
Yeah,
is about that content. How do you go about? And I know this is probably there's probably not an answer to this. Really, it's just genius or luck or genius and luck.
Passion.
I find nice to call it genius. Yeah.
But what's the you know, if I came to you and go, right, make me famous then, market my product. What's the process that you go through to try to find that content, that message, that thing that's going to hook us
You might want to sit back and put the kettle on this. It's difficult to put into words, but I can certainly go through the structure and the process that I personally use and have used for years. So we've got something we call the branding benchmark, and it's taken me 30 years to distill down into 14 questions what I need from you to determine who you are, what you stand for, and more importantly, what are the people that we are, who are the people that we're selling to? Because ultimately, again, when you create an idea, and I think it's brilliant, and you think it's amazing.
Do your customers.
That doesn't matter at all. Yeah. If your customers look at it and it doesn't resonate with them, and it doesn't make them think, oh, you understand my problem.
Mm.
I know. It's the old SIR, situation impact resolution. It's the old lift cell from, the docs that we used to write years and years ago. So my process is that we go through, we fill that out. That starts then creating the creative brief, which we would then go through. You know, what are we doing? Is there a budget? Can we go and paint jumbo jets yellow? Or are we looking at something a bit different? and then for me, it literally is sitting down with the old scribble pen on the iPad or paper, although we're trying to be a bit more sustainable these days. And I would start writing down words and feelings. God, I just don't want to give the listeners a recipe to bake the cake. Or else it'll never come.
Thanks for that, Mip. Yeah, we'll see you again next year.
If the listener can write this down, then you simply won't need us.
Yeah.
So write down a load of words and feelings around what the brand stands for, and then I start turning that into an idea line or a strap line. The little war story, I did this for the launch of the market's first ever flavoured still water, Volvic Touch of Fruit. And it had to encompass all this stuff. And you want to make it really clever, something that people look at. It either makes them smile or they think, oh, that's clever. And then they share it with their mates. And that's the start of marketing, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, getting out there and getting seen. And you
make them really, really want to drink that drink.
Well, yes. So it's the market's first ever flavour of still water. And the idea was more taste full stop, still water, full stop.
Clever.
Which sounds so easy. And it sounds like something that as soon as they said it, you go, oh, you've it took three and a half days to come up with that.
Yeah.
Of 40, 50 sheets of paper.
Yeah, strap line.
But it, because it's without the old trumpet blowing, it's sure, it's quite clever. And at one point you go, oh, I get it. It's still water. But, you know, and that went all across everywhere. So,
yeah.
You know, that's really the power of the ideas. You start scribbling it all down. And then for me, I would then show the client how I'd do three of them and choose a preferred one. And say, this is how this would look. Or let's just say an ad, so you can see it with the graphic and the art direction and maybe some copy, put it all forward, you know, and if it was a video, it may look like this. And then when they hopefully go, that's incredible, let's get it done. Mm. Then obviously, you know, we have the ability to create that idea the best creative it can be within the platform that strategically it needs to go on. So you get the idea, and then you might go, right, as a DM pack, it would look like this, because that isn't just a strap line again. That's another idea using the form of DM, and et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. One of the things you said...
A very long answer to a very short question.
And absolutely brilliant, and it threw up a number of things all the way through there. And going back to one of the things you said early into that explanation was about understanding the client and the client's business and what they do. And I want your thoughts on this, especially with small and medium-sized businesses. I used to work as a management consultant, so we're kind of allied to that, where I go and speak to people and go, well, what do you want? What are you trying to do? And one of the things I found that used to annoy the hell out of me all the time, and I think this is in line with what you were saying, is you'd say to people, who are your clients? And they went, anyone. Okay, I'd sell it to anyone. You go, no. that's of no use. Well, I don't care. I'd sell it to anyone. Well, I'm sure you would, but you can't build a plan on, you know.
And you get wasted, masses of wastage.
Yeah. So, you know, is that something that you come across when you have some clients where they go, we'll sell to anyone, and you have to make them really think hard about what their target market really is?
Yeah, it's critical to not be afraid to hone down the specific people that you're trying to get to buy this product, which is why, you know, the big idea in all your communication should just have one salient point. What is the one thing you're trying to say? And people give you a paragraph and you're like, no, the one thing. What's the one thing?
Yeah.
But you can have multiple breakdowns of them, and they're all different bits of communication. You know, but what's the one thing? But you're absolutely right. I mean, we've got docs called ICAs, Ideal Customer Avatars, which sounds a bit silly. But again, this is what the successful big brands do. This is what we used to do when I worked in the London agencies. And you need to understand who you're selling to. And the reason for that is you need to understand and alleviate their fears for purchasing. You need to trigger and drop their barriers to purchase. So if you might say, well, I'm selling to CEOs who they're too busy and they don't have time. They just want to know, bam, it works, I'll have it. Perfect. That's one. And the ad you write for that person and the communication you show them, the way you do it, the creative, the words, the look, is completely different to the one where you say, well, on the other hand, we also sell this to, part-time people who have loads of time on their hands and they really want to look into the product and get all those stats and find it out. That is a completely different message to the CEO, but both of those bits of communication are still born from the big idea, because the big idea encompasses your whole brand and it's something you can stand behind. And that's why I said at the beginning, that's why marketing, you know, and particularly for me, the creative, innovative side of it, to do it properly, it is difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really easy just to bang an ad out.
Yeah.
It takes thinking to bang something out, to create something.
Yeah.
It's easy to bang something out quick. It's difficult and takes time to create a piece of work that works and it's different and it makes you money because it's different, because it stops the scroll. And that's where you need to be clever and you need to be creative.
And it also needs to be fairly unique.
Of course it does.
Yeah, because one of the things that you see with DIY marketing is people think they've come up with a clever ad and all they've actually done is copied something they've heard somewhere else.
Mm.
Yeah, and all that's doing is selling somebody else's brand for them.
Or else they try and sound, I often find on social media especially, that they try and sound like, they don't sound like the company. So it'll be like, we're so excited, and they sound like 20-year-olds, and yet the company is an established
firm of solicitors or something.
That's a really interesting point, because I in my experience, you'll find the majority of the time it sounds like that, because in most companies, it is.
Yeah,
it is. It is a 19 to 25 year old
doing the social media,
Not a problem with that. That's absolutely fantastic.
But watch the language.
But yeah, but these people, they need to be trained in the brand, because a brand essentially, your brand is your promise. A brand is a promise of what you're going to give to your customers, and everyone in your business is the brand.
Yeah.
When you go out to the pub and you talk to someone about work, you're still representing your business. So for me, I think every employee should be trained and should understand, this is who we are as a business. Yeah. This is how we talk. You know, either we're very staid, and we know we're black suits, black ties, and we're quite boring, because what we do is you know, it's a tech company, and we just need to be really, really clever and really calm.
Or really fun if it's tech, rolling around the corridors
or you do what I used to do around the ad agencies in London. I used to go around the creative department on skateboards, and we had a slide, and we had shop mannequins we used to dress up.
Yeah.
Sounds a bit odd. Yeah. In fact, that came out wrong. But you know what I mean.
In fact,
wasn't that something we were talking about off air?
At least he didn't dress up as a shop mannequin. That could have been even worse.
I remember that day at band camp. But I digress. But
that's absolutely true, isn't it? And it's a fundamental point as well. You know, from a recruitment point of view, I do a lot of work in schools and colleges, talking to young people about careers in the world of work and how it's changing and how you get involved in it. And again, without knocking anybody, you know, there's a lot of people that will tell you how to write a CV or how to do an interview. And of course, most of the time, it's completely invalid, because you've got to do it for the organisation you're applying to. Mm. Yeah. Not just a blanket
tailor.
Yeah. Because, you know, a firm of 200-year-old solicitors will have a very, very different view on professionalism to a London hip ad agency.
You've got to do your research.
Yeah. I do love the fact you're pointing at me when you said that.
Yeah. I ran out of lawyers.
I don't know why.
But you know, that is a truism, isn't it? That you have to address the people that you're addressing. You can't just divine one thing and say, right, this suits everybody.
Which comes back perfectly to your point of someone that said, who do you sell? I'll sell it to anyone. It's okay. I mean, a good metaphor for that is, let's say, if you do a digital campaign on Facebook. You know, you don't just, you know, when it says who do you don't put anyone, you hone it down. Yeah. You know, males or females aged, let's say it's mums, it's something for the kids. Right, then it's females aged X age to X age. You don't run the ad when they're doing the school run or the school run in the afternoon. That sort of granularity of data.
Target marketing.
Absolutely right, absolutely right. It's that granularity of data. So you make sure you have no wastage and your ad is seen specifically by the people who are interested in what you sell. Or you're spending money and you're showing it to someone who's not interested.
And never would be under any circumstances.
Waste of time, waste of budget, waste of money.
So do you think the power of market research is very important even before you start creating the big idea?
Yeah, I think it's incredibly important.
Really getting to understand your target audiences, so your avatars. That's when you can start defining them.
Yeah, it's incredibly
their pain points.
Yeah, it's incredibly important. We're just starting to, just about to work, but I'm not going to mention any names, a major crisp manufacturer in Kent. And I've been talking, I'm not even going to use a he or she, I've been talking to the person. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about, you know, the product. I can't really say too much. Talking about the product, etc. Yes, we're talking about focus groups. Mm. You know, there's nothing to be ashamed of to sit there and say, well, look, you know, we've been doing it for ages, but we don't know everything. Mm. God, if I knew everything about digital marketing and Google, I'd be a multi-billionaire.
Yeah.
Wow. But it's so important. Sorry?
Aren't you? That's a shame.
Oh, and that's really disappointing. you would be. No, you can go there if you haven't got any money, mate.
No one wants to come and play in the pool afterwards. I'm getting all a bit serious, but it's so important to understand, you know, the target market and each piece of communication needs to be different to that target if you want to do it properly. And properly doesn't have to be expensive, but it has to be clever.
Absolutely.
And clever takes time.
Completely agree with that.
Absolutely.
Well, sometimes we're watching, me and the new husband are watching, you know, film on Netflix, or actually ITV is one, and we're watching the adverts, and we just think, why are they on there?
Yeah.
It's either food and food and food and food at a certain time, as you know, but then there's other things. We don't even know what it's advertising. It's just too weird, too clever, too obscure.
I do agree with that, that sometimes it can go beyond...
Beyond clever.
Beyond clever into... almost drama. Do you know what I mean? And there, a few years ago, there was a thing where they show people ads, and they went, "Oh yeah, that's one of my favourite ads." And they go, "What's the product?" No idea.
A lot of the car ones are strange. I say to my new husband, "What car is that even?" You know.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting because that's I remember. Actually, a little story. I remember back in the day, I won't say the brand, it was a major retail manufacturer, when I was ECD at the big agency in London.
What's ECD?
Executive Creative Director. So you go up and then you oversee all the creative directors and, you know, offices across the country and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what it means. What it means is getting to work at 6:30 in the morning and not getting home to see your family. That's what an ECD is. Never been able
until
to go
until the pandemic and you can work from home.
Yeah, never been able to go to the pub with anyone and not having any fun or not having a life. I shouldn't say that. I love my days there. But what I was going to say is that it's interesting you said, because that's almost creativity for creativity's sake. And the story that I was going to tell you was, we had to do, I think it was a set of tube posters for this brand. And there was also some smaller posters. And the art director, he did the poster. And I looked at it and I said, "What do you think?" And he said, "Oh, I think it's great." And I said, "Yeah, okay. Just go and put it on the wall." And he put it on the wall, not far as I am from me to you here, which of course works perfectly on radio because no one knows how far away from
it. But that would be as if you were watching it on the tube or
there you go.
Going up the escalator.
Yeah, there you go. So I go about 11 feet away on the wall, stood back, and I said, "Oh, what does it say?" And he couldn't read it because the font that he'd chosen, oh, it's amazing. It was really art. It was beautiful. But there has to be a point where, and again, this all comes back to the idea and it being clever, but there are so many boxes you have to tick. There are commercial realities that it has to work. Yeah. So you could come up with an idea. Well, I've done this in the past. I've presented an idea and they've actually said, it's too good.
Yeah.
We can't. It looks too expensive. I mean, I always do three, but it looks too expensive.
So what do you mean? They're saying the product looks too expensive?
They say that... The
whole image?
Well, it's let's take this poster. You step back from it and you think it doesn't work on its own. It looks great, but as a piece of communication for the job that it's meant to do, it doesn't work. Mm. It's like a piece of creative that's been created for creatives.
Yeah.
But there are commercial realities that it has to work. So
if you're lying on a chaise longue with a bottle of Lanson, fine.
Exactly. Yeah. But for having someone feed you grapes while someone plays with your feet.
I like that. Works for me.
Regular Sunday.
She'll buy anything.
That's a regular Sunday.
But for your man in the street, you've got a target.
Yeah. Yes. Which goes back to what you were saying. What we're all saying that you need, the first thing you need to do is understand who are we. Yeah. They're the research. Who are we selling to? What do they like? What do they don't like? What do they love about it? What are their fears and barriers to purchase? And you need to create the idea that drops the barriers to purchase, gives them a warm feeling down their leg, and makes them think these people understand me and my problem, and they have a solution. Create the hook, and then of course then try and, you know, get the big idea and all that stuff in. It's quite difficult, really.
Love it. I love your passion. I love your enthusiasm.
I think he's like a young Bill Nighy. Watching Bip.
There's an insult in there somewhere, but no, I can't find it.
No, I love Bill Nighy. I love Bill.
I have no idea where she's going with this.
Just good morning.
He did. Good morning. But
do you know what I mean about a young Bill Nighy?
He's love all around you. He's love all around you.
I feel it in my fingers and I feel it in my toes.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. Mip, that was brilliant. Thank you so much for that.
Oh, pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Give us a shout out for how you want people to contact you and have a listen.
I think we can find you on LinkedIn firstly, Carl.
Yeah, great. I mean, LinkedIn is the first off if you want to get hold of me. Obviously, LinkedIn /in/ Mip Phillips, MIPPHILLIBS, IPS. And if you Google it, I think regrettably I'm the only Mip Phillips on Google.
You must be the only Mip.
Which is horrific.
Thank the maternity nurse for that.
Yeah, exactly. Or you can grab me on mip@habilisuk.com. I mean, just one thing finally for me, if that's all right, guys.
Yeah,
this is something that I do and have done in the past. If you're thinking about a big idea or you think, oh, it sounds too expensive or it doesn't sound right, I don't know how I'd do it, I am always really, really happy to throw in 10-minute, 5-minute Zooms and just you know, chat to people.
Cool. Okay.
And also, sorry, finally, also, if you are a student and you're looking to get into the marketing industry, one of the things, sorry, I'll be quick, one of the marketing things I do is I try to help people with their CVs and help them, you know, brilliant, stand out from the crowd, et cetera, et cetera.
Excellent.
So any of that, please, please get in touch. Chris, I'd love to help.
Do you do something wild and creative on a CV?
I've done. Oh, I don't know whether you have. You don't have 2 minutes, do you, for my story of how I got my first job?
Very quickly.
Really quickly. So, talking about stand out and being different, this is so inappropriate for radio. When I was looking for my first job in marketing, there were no computers, and we used to take a portfolio about of all our work because you didn't have it digitally.
Yeah.
So, I'll do this very quickly. So, I didn't have a obviously digital to carry around. Had a portfolio. Didn't want to take it around all the advertising agencies in London and Bournemouth where I was travelling before in the days. So, I went to the doctor and bought a sample bottle and filled it up with this is not going the way you think it's going to. Filled it up with yellow water and wrote on it around the idea being I couldn't send you all my work, so here's a sample.
Oh, I love
which
it
a bit silly good. but that is believe it or not, that's what got me my very first job
in
advertising.
Fabulous.
Haven't looked back since.
I love it. I love
experiential
it.
Marketing,
there you go. Yeah, absolutely it. How about that for an experience?
Mick, thank you so much for
pleasure.
That right, we've got a lot of catching up to do, so that means you need to be quiet for a while, Jules. Do you think I got away with that? Michael Park Surveyors, we'd love a shout out, Paul. We appreciate the Business Bunker shout outs from you and Jules Sirkin. So that's Michael Park Surveyors, MPSL, on the Twitter. I'm going to rush through these fairly quickly because we've got loads and we've got no time. Lovely Helen Fuchs of VUIT Training, looking forward to the show. Would love a shout out. Give Helen a follow. VUIT Training. It's her Twitter handle, and as it says there, they train you in IT. Susie Fish, Empowering Natural Beauty, fun memories of doing the Business Bunker show. Have a great show today. Thank you, Susie. You've read all the Diamond Circle Wedding ones, haven't you?
I have, yes.
Well done. I think I've read those. Oh, blimey, there's a picture of her feet. I wasn't expecting
Tracy
that.
Tracy Ferguson says she's laughing here at the brilliant story behind MIP's name.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I'd be grateful if that wasn't mentioned on Twitter, please. Yeah. That would be quite helpful.
Too late.
Yeah.
It's out there.
I'm going to get loads of sample bottles sent to the house.
Yeah.
It's only a reach of 62.5k.
Hashtag WeeWee.
Global.
Do you know anyone at a career crossroads or wanting to launch or relaunch a portfolio career? If you do, please let them know about our Catapult course. In 8 modules, we help you launch a portfolio career and win work. There is a recommended sequence of learning, but you can also choose to study any module anytime. We have optional weekly Zoom discussions to review progress, get support, and network with other professionals. You can learn more by going to their website, which is portfolio-collective.com/catapult. I really suggest if you're in that market that you look at that. Ben Legg, who's the person behind this, is a friend of mine, and he has a very interesting background himself. He was head of Google Europe for a while and a few other things, but he now specializes in helping people develop portfolio careers. So check it out, portfolio-collective.com. Really, really worth a look.
And View IT Training say we would love a shout out, please, on the Business Bunker.
I just did that one.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear.
Oh, you weren't listening to me, were you?
Double shout out.
And the Lisa M. Settle, did you read that one?
I haven't.
So she's enjoying her time in, I think she's Salcombe, isn't she?
She's in Devon at the moment, yeah.
Lovely.
And she says she's having a lovely time. She's been to the Crab somewhere or other, Crab Shack, I think it was. It looked delicious.
Crab Shack, yep. I saw she had mussels.
Yep.
I saw the picture.
Bob Beattie has, he's hopped up and told me to watch a program about solar panels because he knows I'm rather passionate about solar panels not being built on farmland. He says, someone leaves all the lights on, but at least she pays her own bills now. So I don't know. I think he's referring to his daughter. Beverly Bunn, did you read hers?
No.
So she's going raving about Lisa Marie's crab and the visual of steaming bowl of mussels.
See, I told you she had mussels.
Yeah.
I want to tell you about this. It's the Street Soccer Foundation charity helping young homeless people. They are looking for sports activity coordinators over the Easter period. They can pay £50 to £65 a day. for you to help them out in Maidstone, Dartford, Ebbsfleet, Sheppey, Sittingbourne, Raynham, Hempstead or Sheerness. It'll be on a part-time contract because it's only for the Easter holidays. The Street Soccer Foundation is a national award-winning sport for change charity based in Maidstone and operating throughout the county as well as nationally across England. The foundation typically uses football as a catalyst to help engage, educate, upskill and inspire children and young people in communities nationwide, creating lasting impact on the lives of programme participants and their families. Under Street Soccer Stars Children's Services provision, we are now immediately recruiting for several passionate, enthusiastic sports activity coordinators to join our team to help us deliver free-to-attend Easter holiday camps in multiple areas across Kent and Medway. The Easter holiday camp is delivered in conjunction with the government's holiday activities and food programme, which provides healthy food and enriching activities to disadvantaged children.
Sounds
and
awesome.
It's totally free. Our Easter holiday camps will run daily throughout the week on Tuesday the 5th to Friday the 8th of April, Monday 11th to Thursday the 14th of April, and it will be supporting children aged between 5 and 15, and it runs from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. If you want to find out about the jobs in more detail, you can find the jobs on Jobs in Kent, and if you go into Jobs in Kent under the charity sector, you'll find the stuff there, or you can contact Street Soccer direct. Jules.
Did we mention iTrust Assurance? I think you did,
briefly.
Didn't you? So big hello to them. To read out their, let's have a look at their little website. It's 3ws.itrust.uk.com. Go and have a look. But they are a consultancy. They do team building. So they might work with Kenwood Trust, perhaps. A little team building there. Bringing a healthy and sustainable speak-up culture to organisations worldwide. So big hello to you as well. And drones, Paragon drones, we mentioned, didn't we? Hello to
we
them.
Did.
We had a drone going over our beach yesterday on our dog walk, and the greyhound was watching it the whole time up in the sky.
You know what I'm going to do now?
Some FSB uninterrupted.
I'm going to do the FSB news without you interrupting.
I won't heckle
that's
you.
That's what I'm going to do.
I will not heckle
good
you.
Luck
unless it's interesting.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup, offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
I'm going to give you a number of events that are taking place organised by the Federation of Small Business. At the end of all of these events, I will give you a link where you can find out more detail or book your free place. This Friday, the 18th of March, 12:30 to 2 p.m. is a member showcase at McNaid's in Faversham, an in-person business discussion and networking for FSB members in Kent and Medway, with Stefano Cuomo from McNaid will give a short talk about the McNaid business journey. If you go to that, I suggest you take lots of money with you because you won't come out of that shop without buying anything, I guarantee. It's fantastic, isn't it?
It is. It's great. That's Friday night, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's on.
Yeah. No, it's Friday lunchtime.
Friday lunchtime.
Yeah, 12:30.
Okay.
12:30 till 2. Securing finance to set up or scale up on Wednesday the 23rd of March, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. This panel discussion webinar will help you assess whether you are ready for finance and funding. On Thursday the 31st of March, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m, ethnic minority-led business networking. On the last Thursday of each month, we bring you a brand new free-to-attend virtual networking for ethnic minority FSB members and non-members. You can join us to network, share, learn and discuss the successes and experiences of being an ethnic minority business owner. And that's hosted by Jason Roberts. Wednesday the 30th of March, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m, what to do if running your business feels hard. I think that means all of us there. Join FSB and inspirational coach Jim Hughes for this unmissable virtual webinar where you will hear what to do if running your business feels hard, given the challenging circumstances of the past 2 years. This is a good one. Tuesday the 22nd of March, 11 a.m, helping business owners to support their elderly parents.
Oh, we need that, Paul Andrews.
I need that.
Full-time job.
Yep. This webinar will explain how FSB Care and Pod Plan can help you discover resources to resolve your concerns, providing information about services such as social care, home care, benefits, and offering hands-on expert help to help you every step of the way coping with elderly parents while running a business.
Super.
Sounds good.
It's a bit like going back in time when I had three kids and I worked for various agencies.
She's interrupting again, isn't she?
What's that? Sorry.
You've interrupted again.
Yeah, I know,
you?
But we're kind of at the end of you that, thought you,
no, I've got two more to read.
I've gone then.
No, well, you carry
no,
on
I'm
now.
I'm just saying that when I was growing up with my kids, you know, and I had like a two-year-old, a four-year-old and a six-year-old, every time I went into a meeting, I'd get a phone call. Little Johnny was ill, or come and collect him, or it was, which is why I started my own business, because it was just awful. And now I'm in the, you and I are in the middle of my mum.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday I probably spent 2 hours fighting a cause with the GP and actually getting her to be seen rather than a telephone.
Oh, my poor mum's in hospital.
Again, yeah. And it's tough. But even when they're in hospital, you've got to be there because they're not looked after.
You're trying to run your own business and juggle.
Yeah. And it's a nightmare. Yeah. The ward my mum's on at the moment have gone full Stasi. Yeah. The rest of the hospital's fine. You can wander around it at your heart's content. But on the ward she's on, you have to have a full hazmat suit. I had to do a risk assessment. I have to do a lateral flow test every day. But I'm the only one allowed to visit her.
Yeah.
My sister can't go. It's got to be me. Yeah.
Your mum needs the support of the whole family.
Especially
you and your sister.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and my sister's going, well, why are you, you know, I'm going every day. She's going, well, I want to see her. I'm like, well, you can't.
But if she takes a test, she should be allowed in.
No, but she's not. You have a designated visitor and that's it.
Yeah.
It's just bonkers.
That needs to stop now. Doesn't
yeah,
it?
It does really, yeah. And funnily enough, the rest of the hospital don't care. My mum was in the resus unit because she's in quite a bad way. My mum was in the resus unit; they didn't care at all. In fact, I walked in there one day and I'd forgot I had my mask in my back pocket. They didn't even ask me to put the mask on.
Well,
you know. So,
well, when I went for an MRI after my AstraZeneca damage, they were handing each patient the same pen over and over again at the height of the pandemic in lockdown when you weren't allowed anywhere. Same pen, you know.
It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense at all.
A lot of it didn't make sense, unfortunately.
Yeah. Anyway, wishing your lovely mum well.
Yeah, thank you. Anyway, that was the Federation of Small Business News. If you want to find out details on any of those events that I've read out or to book your place, if you go to kempersradio.co.uk/FSB, you can find all the details there. And that page is constantly updated as new events come in. So you can find out about everything there. Jules?
Beautifully read, Paul Andrews.
We've only got 2 minutes left of the show, I might tell you.
I'm not going to gabble just for you, but I will say this. The boss of an IT firm in the county is urging more firms to capitalise on government employment schemes after seeing one young recruit become a success story. Don Iro, or Iro, I-R-O, Chief Executive of Rochester-based Altex, A-L-L-T-E-K-S, Altex, says the Kickstart scheme, which we're so fond of, will allow employers to get funding for 6 months towards an employee aged 16 to 24 who was previously claiming universal credit, and it's been a huge boost to their business. Well done, Altex.
Kickstart is a fantastic program for young people.
Yeah, it is. It
really is. I've seen young people transform.
Maybe they should expand it for any age. Mm.
Yeah. Incredible.
If you'd like to do business with Maidstone Borough Council, anyone interested in opportunities to do business with the council are encouraged to register for alerts on the Kent Business Portal. The council would like any local businesses, big and small, to bid for their contracts. By registering on the e-tendering platform, businesses can take part in up-and-coming future tenders. It's a great way for any business to look for potential work, and the portal includes opportunities across the whole of Kent. To register, you simply go to kentbusinessportal.org.uk and select supplier registration option from the grey box. If you want more information or how to get involved in the process, the procurement team at Maidstone Council are always available to discuss this with potential suppliers. You can drop them an email at procurement@maidstone.gov.uk.
And fruit varieties developed by a leading horticultural research centre in the county have recorded record sales. So well done, NIAB EMR in East Malling. And they say in 2021 it sold more than 94 million plants under its Malling Fruits brand. So looking forward to strawberries in June.
It tells you about that. You can read it. Strawberries and raspberries were their big sellers.
I'm cutting it down because you said we're short time. But if you'd like to hear, the best-selling variety was its June bearer, Strawberry Malling Centenary.
We've got no time now.
With sales of more than 68 million plants.
Is that it?
Meanwhile, its Morling Bella raspberry variety soared by more than 50% on the previous year. I do love a strawberry in season, don't you?
I do.
At the moment, I'm on frozen berries. It's not the same, is
not,
it?
They're not the same.
And I do love just going and picking blackberries off a bush.
Oh, you know the crop of blackberries I had last year?
Yeah.
But my biggest blackberry bush got squished.
By?
A tree.
Oh,
in the storm.
What storm was that? We've had so many.
The one a couple of weeks ago.
Celeste or something.
You know, when you come in my drive, I had that big ash tree.
Yeah.
The whole thing came down and squished my blackberry thing. It also squished my drive and everything else.
I do keep nudging him. I do have a very large wood burner.
Which needs
stocking.
Fabulous. I've got a lot of wood.
Well, I'm coming on Saturday, aren't I? I'll bring my lumberjack with me.
He's showing off now.
You need a big van. I've got a lot of wood.
Ashes.
I lost three trees.
Ashes are very beautiful wood, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very usable. Build a little log cabin out of it.
Yeah. I lost three. Two of them are 150-foot trees that came down. Wow. I've got a lot of wood.
When I drove to wherever I go to see Mohammed, Hampton Court, there's all these big swanky houses, and after the storm, all the gates were blown through, like metal gates and that. I've never seen such destruction.
Sure. The eagerly anticipated Kent and Medway Business Summit has secured another key sponsor for the event in April. For the second year running, it's agreed a partnership with the British Business Bank. The one-day networking event is organised by the Kent Business School at the University of Kent, bringing together some 300 businesses, key policymakers and leading academics. The bank will join headline sponsors Creston Reeves and Thompson Snell and Passmore in supporting the summit, which takes place at the University's Canterbury campus, Kent Business School, on Wednesday, April the 27th. And this will be the fifth year of that summit, and very good it is too. And I recommend you get along there.
Did we read T.D. Botty's one about his last chance, Marsh Networking? So the Marsh Networking next meeting dates, Wednesday 16th of March, online, 10:30 to 12 o'clock, Fiverr. First time is a free, Thursday 17th of March in Person Pet Village Hall, which is in the Ashford, Folkestone, Romney, Kent business area. And this is networking with at T.D. Botty, B-O-T-T-Y. There's no membership fee at all.
Cool. I think we've probably reached the end of another show. What do you think?
Well, I could ramble on for hours.
I'm sure you could. You normally do.
And I'm just amazed that I'm the only one that's had the chocolate biscuit, which shows I have absolutely no willpower.
I'm about to have one now.
You're a crunchy mouth during.
And you're the one that's gluten intolerant, so you're the only one in here that shouldn't be eating.
I know. I licked the chocolate off and kept the rest for the dog.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. Is that right? Yeah.
If I puff up tomorrow, I'll let you
know. Right. I want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsors, the lovely folks at Telford Accounting, to our two fantastic guests, Hetty Palmer of Kenwood Trust and Mick Phillips of Habilis.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us. To my lovely, stonkingly gorgeous co-host.
Thank you.
Jules Serkin.
And to you, Paul Andrews.
And most of all, to all the
listeners. Lovely knowing you.
To all the listeners out there and everybody that tweeted and sent emails.
Yeah, hugely busy. Well done. Thank you.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for supporting us and joining in.
And we love you all.
We'll be back with another show next Tuesday. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you again soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.